Well, I'm glad I put that hot number in there to balance out Katie's crazy number.
There's no entertainment. I just can't get behind it.
Hey, y'all. It's LJ here, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. We are so glad you're here for another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Now, here's your host, Allie.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to another episode, a very exciting and fun episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. We have listened to your feedback. We have talked about this, and we are so excited today to be doing something really different, really fun, and honestly, so helpful. If you have kids or you are just somebody that is thinking about going to Disney and you want to meet characters, today with Katie and Stacy. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
We are going to be ranking our favorite character meals. We're going to go through every character meal. We're going to talk about these. We've done them. We've eaten there. We've met these characters. We know what's up. We know if they're good. Are they overrated? Should you be putting your attention here? We're going to talk about it. We're so excited. And the three of us did not really discuss this ahead of time. So I'm excited to see what you all think. And I think some of my choices on what I think qualifies good character dining may surprise you. So I can't wait to get into that. We have so many things to talk about. So many things dining are changing when we're thinking about Disney World next year. But before we dive into that, we want to once again thank all of our listeners for being here, coming back every week, liking, subscribing, those of you that are making sure our podcast is hitting your podcast feed every single time one drops. We appreciate you so much. Please just do us a favor. If you like this show, if you like listening to us and you just feel like you're part of our conversation, hit that subscribe button right now. Get our shows delivered to you the second they drop. Helps us out, helps you out. And we would really appreciate that. Also, if you have not already, last week we launched our Patreon. This is so exciting. We are loving having a community where we can dive deeper into topics, have exclusive content, go further than we may go on these episodes, and really just get to know our listeners. That's what's been fun so far. What do y'all think?
I am over the moon excited about our Patreon. I really feel that if you're going to subscribe to the Patreon, you're going to have so much value in it with our monthly guide and everything. And just that sense of community, Allie, that you were talking about. Like, I love getting to know our listeners. And man, this is going to be the perfect place for all of you smarties to connect with us.
Don't we have the best listeners anywhere? I just feel like every other podcast out there must be really jealous of us because we have the best.
I love that. Yes, our listeners are the greatest.
It's really fun to talk Disney. You know, us smart moms, Plan Disney podcast hosts, we all get together and we talk about these topics that we come up with or honestly that we're getting from our listening community. And it's so fun. But continuing the conversation and just talking to people that have never been or are dreaming of going or are regulars and all of the different perspectives, it's just a blast. It's so much fun. And while I love recording with you, I love talking Disney with other people elsewhere. So today's episode, character dining is one of those things that you dream about when you're dreaming of a Disney trip. We went through phases when our kids were younger where we would just watch, you know, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on repeat or that one Disney princess movie on repeat. And going to Disney World and my kids just realizing this is where these characters are and this is the moment I'm going to say hello and give a hug to Minnie Mouse, you know, for my oldest daughter. That's what it's all about. And I remember my first character meal experience with my oldest daughter. It's a core memory where Disney is related for sure. And I think character dining, even if you just do one on your trip, some families choose to do just that one. And that's why this episode is going to be so great because Disney has so many options that it's hard to narrow down. How do you pick the one you're going to do? And some families decide that they want to do several. And today's episode, you know, we're going to give our take. Here's how we rank these. These are the ones you should prioritize. You're going to want to stick around to the very end because we're going to have a full list in order. We're going to take all of our scores that we give them and average them out to really come up with what was number one. What's the number one character dining? And we have a lot of experience and expertise that goes into these decisions we're going to be making.
I am so excited for this episode. This is like, I almost feel like I'm on a game show, you all. Like, I am so excited to be ranking every single Disney character dining experience. This is going to be great.
And if you haven't already listened to our Disney dining episode, you're going to want to make sure you sort of pair these together. Listen to that episode where we talk about just the Disney dining experience and what a sit-down reservation that requires an ADR, advanced dining reservation, which all of these character meals do. You learn the difference between that and the quick service dining and all of those things. So be sure to listen to that as a companion. But as an update to that episode, back when we recorded our dining episode, dining plans were not around. The Disney dining plan was a really incredible package add-on a couple of years back. And when things started to shift at Disney World and change a few years ago, they got rid of the dining plan. And it's been gone for 3 years. It's coming back. January 9th, 2024, dining plans are back. You can add them to your vacation packages if you have a check-in date that starts January 9th or later of 2024. And while it's a bit of a confusing concept, we're going to break it down before we go into these character dining rankings, because the dining plan could be a really good fit for your family. And if character dining is a priority, especially if multiple character dining experiences are a priority, one of these dining plans may be something that you need to add on to your trip.
I love the dining plan. It's a really great budgeting tool for people that are trying to get a feel for, like, how much does my Disney trip really cost? Like, people ask us that all the time, right? And one of those factors is, how much does the food cost? And I love that Disney has two options. They have the quick service dining plan and the Disney dining plan that includes the table service restaurants. But it also helps you to feel a little more eased before you're going on your Disney trip, that you don't have to like figure out all the math. You don't need to be worrying about the pressure on your wallet. All of those meals are already taken care of. And let me tell you, if you have a Disney doubter that's traveling with you, maybe your husband is a little bit of a Disney doubter, the dining plan is going to make a really big difference for him. Believe me on that.
And there is something really fun about making it have that all-inclusive feel. Like, it's already paid for. You just go and eat. You don't have to think about it. You just go and you know that you can pick whatever you want. And that's just really a fun option.
It's important. Two things. You know, when I'm talking to families that are planning their trip and we're thinking about, Katie, you mentioned that budget and how much does your trip really cost? The thing that I have been saying and working through with people is, you almost think about your budget. And then this becomes an expansion, right? Because this is an expense you're going to have either way. You're going to eat while you're in Disney World, whether you have the dining plan or not. And so do you want to know that total ahead of travel and go ahead and add it and roll it in and just kind of inflate your budget a little bit to include it? Or do you want to be sticker shocked every time you sit down? And then that can really dampen your day, you know? I think it's important we say it does give it a more inclusive feel, although it doesn't become all inclusive, because a dining plan will never cover every morsel you're going to eat on your trip. Katie, you mentioned that there are two types of dining plans. The quick service dining plan is nice for families that don't like to spend a lot of time sitting down to eat. So that's going to give you, each night you're there, for each night you're going to be allotted credits, and you will have, with the quick service plan, two quick service meals per person per day. One snack per person per day, and one resort refillable mug to be refilled at your resort per person. That's a big value. That's a huge amount of your food. You can think that's breakfast before you hit the park. That's dinner when you get back to the park, and a snack while you're in the park. You know, that is, and it's not just parks that it works at. I get that question all the time. It works all over Disney property. Over 200 dining locations are going to honor the dining plans. And so the value is humongous. The Disney dining plan, as you mentioned, Katie, that I sort of call the full service, is where you get one sit-down dining a day. That's going to include these character meals that we're going to be ranking, along with any other restaurant that requires an advanced dining reservation, a place you're going to sit down. One quick service meal, one snack, and then that same resort refillable mug. That's all credits allotted per night per person. Huge value, right? If you're somebody that's thinking, we want either a breakfast or dinner every day, boom, it's covered. Sit down, enjoy.
I love it. The perks of the dining plan for a lot of families are just the fact that it's a budgeting tool, right? And we've talked about that. But there's an added benefit if you're traveling with little ones, because you can save up to 20% on dining for kids ages 3 to 9 when you have the dining plan in your package. Like, it's a no-brainer if you're traveling with little kids to include that for the savings. Like, why not rake in all the savings you can get, right?
Exactly. And it's important to say that Disney does throw a wrench in it a little bit, as Disney does, where there are about 20 restaurants on property that will require you to use 2 of your dining credits to sit down and eat there. And so that may mean that you're sitting down for maybe a big character dining experience that might require 2. And then the next day you're not doing a sit down. And that's just sort of how you balance that. And if you have a Smart Moms travel agent, they can help you certainly go through and organize your credits. You know, it can be a bit intimidating to think, well, I have these credits and where are they? Where do they go? And that's just another confusing thing. All the more reason you need to stick with your Smart Moms travel agent, because any one of us can really break this dining plan down for you and help you not only see the value, but strategize with more ease.
You know, I was saying just a minute ago that the dining plan is really a great tool for converting the Disney doubter in your life. And if you have maybe a spouse that enjoys having a glass of wine with you in the evenings, or a nice beer or a cocktail, the dining plan also includes alcoholic beverages. You can get 1 alcoholic beverage subbed out with your meal credit. And it's a great way to include that cost. Again, I really feel that the dining plan is just a no-brainer for so many reasons. And including those alcoholic beverages is another big perk.
And what a freeing thing to just know that when you're paid off on your trip and you get that exciting announcement from your agent that, hey, your trip is fully paid. Somebody mentioned, one of you, Katie, already mentioned that sticker shock. It's kind of a social media meme to show pictures of someone getting the bill at at their dining, at their Disney dining, and to just know that you're not going to have to deal with that. And it's already done. So you've already worked through that. And it's really just allowing you to have magical experiences in your dining process.
I love the way you just worded that, Stacey, when you said work through that, because as much as I try to be the yes parent on vacation, I do feel that stress. And I actually had an experience at a character dining. We were on trip of a lifetime, brother, nieces, nephews, whole family, you know, parents, grandparents, we're all there. One of those things we're probably not going to do again. And we all had a character dining. I won't specify which one because we're going to get into these in a little bit, but it's one of my favorites that I will rank very highly. And I mean, we were just being those yes parents. Kids were getting the special cup and the special light up ice cube, and we're getting all of the things, you know, we're just, it's full, you know, full on, we're doing whatever we want. And it was the best time. We were having so much fun. And then the bill hit my table and my wife had to rein me in. Like, she is so not a person that stresses over things. She's fine. She's like, whatever, we're coming to Disney. We knew we had this expense. It is what it is. Why are you worried about this? And for me, I remember that moment. And had I had the dining plan, I would only remember my kids and my niece and nephew, you know, in the character parade, walking around the restaurant. That's what I would remember only.
I agree. Really, the Disney dining plan, and I mean, Allie, to your credit, you're certainly not a Disney doubter, right? But there are a lot of families that are planning with Disney doubters. And I just really, truly feel that the dining plan makes so much of a difference in you having a magical vacation without the stress.
Yeah, I think if you have any questions, if we've confused you in any way, reach out to your Smart Moms travel agent. Ask them the questions. Can I add this onto my package? What does it mean if I do? If you don't have an agent you're working with, of course, reach out to one of the podcast hosts. We've got you. But I think this is just something that maybe people don't realize is back, you know, number one. And number two, don't realize the value and how much true happiness it can bring you to have that stress lifted off your plate before you go. We talk all the time, Disney planning is stressful. So why not alleviate a little bit of that at a time? And the dining plan really helps you chisel that away. So I feel great about it. I can't wait to use it for the first time, you know, going back in 24, because it's been years, you know, and I think it's going to be pivotal in our experiences. Are we ready to do this? Are we going to take a break and come back and jump into this ranking?
Sounds great.
All right. We'll be right back and we are going to rank some dining. Hey there, Mom. I see you. You're dreaming of taking your kiddos to the most magical trip of a lifetime, but how do you do it? Isn't Disney expensive? Or maybe you think planning is just too complicated. You need the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Tune in every week as we dish the do's and don'ts to ensure your vacation is every bit as memorable as your family deserves. Consider this your invitation to pull up a chair and join the most magical conversation on earth with the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. We'll see you real soon. All right, ladies, are we ready to rank every character meal that Walt Disney World has to offer?
Everyone, yes.
I am so ready for this.
Here's how it's going to work. We are going to talk through every character meal, as I said, currently offered at Disney World. There are some meals that Disney World offered pre-pandemic times that are still not back. We're not talking about those today. No guarantee those are going to reopen. Should they reopen, maybe we'll do a little addendum onto the episode, add those back in. But these are, as we record today, the character meals that Disney is offering that are open and functioning back on property. These include all character experiences in resorts as well as in the parks. Cannot wait to talk about the difference between resort and park character dining, because I'm curious to see if y'all think there is a big difference. We are going to use a scale of 1 to 100. That does feel like a big scale. However, we felt like we needed a wide range to offer some versatility, to give ourselves a wider spectrum here, to eliminate ties and really come up with a true list. When you all were thinking about your rankings, did you strategize how you were going to use your scale of 1 to 100? Like, are you going to place anything under 10? Like, do you have a starting point? What was your approach here?
So I'm not going to spoil anything and tell you any of my numbers now, but I definitely had an approach. And in my mind, I know which ones I think are top tier A number one and which ones are, that was a one and done for me. So I went through and thought about that first, and then I assigned a number. However, I will say that even though I have a number in my mind already of what I think a character dining will be, I'm excited to talk to you guys because you might influence my decision. I might change the number I already have in my head about it, depending on what you say.
I didn't cover the whole number line because I don't think Disney offers anything too low. So my numbers tend to all be a little bit higher. Now, the only strategy I did kind of do is just in comparison with each other. I wanted to make sure that the number I picked made my ranking that fit me. I wanted to make sure that I did have things ranked at least, you know, kind of even with something else that I agreed with, or, you know, put something above or below another one. So that's really what I did. And I did not go anything super duper low just because I don't think Disney has anything super duper low. So
that's a good
I know
point.
That may be different.
No, I think that's a good point because I want to just say before we do this, it doesn't matter which of these meals you pick. Your experience is going to be top notch. This is Disney dining. These are Disney characters. You're going to have a great time no matter what you pick. And the factors that we are taking into account when we rank these, you know, your family may have a different agenda. And so that's important to keep in mind. You're not going to have a bad idea, or I mean a bad time, excuse me. I kind of looked at my scale 1 to 100 as a scale of 1 to 10. And if I was going to give something, you know, a 6, then I would put it in the 60 range and then kind of fluctuate it within that. So I think this is going to be really fun to see where each of us land. Stacey, I feel like, is approaching this like every character dining is one of her children. And she's like, I'm afraid if I give that one a low number, they're going to feel badly about themselves. Not that you would give your kids a number, but maybe on the days.
I've ranked my kids. It's fine. Yeah. I've ranked them.
I might just give my kids a number like at Disney World when they're having their meltdowns. I'm like, ooh, you are a 7.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a sliding scale. It's a sliding scale. It changes day to day.
Okay. So this is so fun. Character dining. I just want to preface. It's a must do for me. On my Disney vacations, we go multiple times a year with my family. We hit a character meal. Obviously, we've done all of these. And we hit one every single trip. Sometimes we hit one where we're saying, okay, this time we're just going to check this one off. And other times we're saying, this is our staple. We always go here. And so that's also really interesting. And I took that into account, obviously, while I was ranking. You know, what's the one that we did just to check it off? And what's the one that we go back to multiple times?
And I'm sure all of us are going to rank based on, you know, our personal emotions that involve with it. It's going to have, you know, some very standard things that you would rate any restaurant on, but we all can't help but have our emotional ties to them. And I want to remind the listeners that that is something to consider, that we are three very different moms with our different experiences. And we're going to feel differently just based on that alone, just preference and just types of food your family likes, types of experiences your family likes. And so just know that the differences is what makes the world go round and what makes it fun. So listen for what your family might like and see if you can adapt what we say to fit your family the best.
Two things I want to say, and then we're getting into this, is please remember, we are not just ranking this experience as an isolated experience. We are ranking these directly against one another. So if we give something a lower number, it might just be because we don't think it performs as well as that other Mickey meal. You know, it doesn't mean it itself is such a bad experience. So I really took that approach, is I'm comparing these apples to apples, you know, my experience with this one versus this one, not an overall. And be sure to stay through to the end, because we don't even know which one is going to land on top. I'm so excited. I have an idea of what I think will be at the top. You know, I really do. But I can't wait to see if I'm right. And I might reveal if I was. I don't like being wrong. And so when we get to the end, if I might say if what I thought was right, but I might just skirt over it. We're going to go in alphabetical order here if you want to follow along. Starting number one with, who wants to say it? How do you pronounce this restaurant?
Akershus.
Akershus.
I think that's right.
It is.
Maybe.
Princess Meal in Epcot. This is Park Dining, Disney Princesses, Norway Pavilion, directly next to the Anna and Elsa meet and greet, although Anna and Elsa are not part of this meet and greet. Princesses at this meal will typically include Ariel, Aurora, Sleeping Beauty, Belle, Jasmine, and Snow White. Although, unlike most Mickey meals, the princess dining can change, and it can change without warning. So you may get a princess that you didn't expect, or you may not see a princess you may have expected. So it's sort of important to go in knowing that it is princess dining. You will see a lot of princesses, but don't necessarily tell your little one that they're definitely meeting this princess, because that can change. That does rotate. And it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which is a little different than some other experiences. So, Katie, you're starting.
Oh, my goodness. Akershus is great from a standpoint of, I don't want to take all of the time to, I don't want to get in line for Snow White and then go get in line for Aurora and then go get in line for Ariel. Like, the value of going to a character dining that has so many characters, because this one has a lot. This one has, what did we say, 5 or 6 princesses. And most meals take like between an hour to an hour and a half, usually a little bit longer than an hour to get through. That's a lot of characters to meet in that time. So a lot of people, especially like first time visitors, will think that's a good value for their time. Like, you're paying money for that character meal, but you're also cranking out all of those meet and greets, right? So it's not a bad choice. I really like the food there. I don't eat fish anywhere, and I did like the fish at Akershus, which is saying something. Even my girls are pretty picky eaters, and they serve some traditional, I don't know exactly, is it Nordic foods? But my kids loved this meal, like the food itself, as well as meeting the princesses. That being said, I gave Akershus a 74 because even though it's good food and you meet a lot of characters, I am like so about pacing at a character meal. And meeting all of those characters in such a short window means I felt the whole meal like I'm taking a bite and then I'm hurrying to meet a princess, and then let's shovel another 2 bites in, and then there's another princess coming. So that's why I gave it a 74. I felt like it was a really good meal, just did not love the pacing of it.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'll go next and say that the main thing I really like here is the family style service versus a buffet where you're up and down, up and down, up and down. So I know that you're kind of talking about that with the pacing, with how frequently the princesses are coming through. But I think the family style makes it a less chaotic dining room. And the movement just in there feels a little calmer than some of the buffet style restaurants. So for that, I really like it. And I do think the food is a little more elevated. It's still traditional. Like you kind of mentioned, there's some traditional foods that allow picky eaters to still be happy. But then some other things that are a little fancier maybe that it feels a little more elevated than some other dining experiences as well. I also think the price is very reasonable when you're talking comparison to the other dining, character dining options. So for that, I actually gave it a score very similar to yours, Katie. I said 75.
Nice.
I love that we are pretty in sync on this one. Akershus, my experience there was great. We actually did breakfast. We had Sleeping Beauty playing hide and seek. I have the most adorable picture of my son just looking just like she was so beautiful. She's popping out of her pink gown. So wonderful. My oldest daughter did the character princess parade and wave around the restaurant. The breakfast selections were perfect. We started our day with this meal. So before we got hangry, before the sun made us just so drained we couldn't enjoy our time, we took a slow morning, enjoyed the meal, and then had a wonderful day, I think, because of that. And we didn't feel the pressure of running around because, you know, you can meet princesses lining World Showcase, but we didn't feel the pressure to stop because we had already met them. So it was a great way to start our day. It was a wonderful, wonderful time and experience. And I gave it an 81.
I like that. Okay.
I think that's good.
So we're all super in line there. I love that. And this is so fun because we didn't know where anybody was going to land. And I can't believe we all landed so close. But I have a feeling that as our numbers drop, rise really high, we might see a change in that. Okay. We're going to go right on to our next one. Katie's tabulating scores here. Be Our Guest. It is loosely considered character dining, in my opinion. This is located inside Magic Kingdom. I'm going to start on this one. Be Our Guest is a great meal. The food was really good. My dad is somebody that's hard to please, just in general with food, you know, and it's been a running joke since I was a little girl. And when we sat down at Be Our Guest, he loved his food. And so I can use that scale and think, okay, this is great. But if I'm thinking of Be Our Guest as a character meal and as character dining and how does it perform in that sense, we were there for, I believe it was nearly 2 hours, if I'm being really honest. It was a really, really long time. The restaurant is huge. There are three or four dining rooms within this restaurant, three, I believe, and you can be seated in any one of them. We happen to be seated in a very, very dark one and kind of toward the back. The Beast is the character that is at this meal, but there are so many people, there are so many tables, there are so many different parts of this restaurant. He's not coming around and doing meet and greets. That's not what's happening. He is walking through and waving, and he is cool to see. I love seeing the Beast. I mean, it is a really unique experience to see him, but you can see him on stage in the Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios. You know, do I want to pay extra for a character meal to see him walk through my dining room? Absolutely not. The little dessert where the kids can paint Chip, that's what they do, is they paint Chip and it's all edible. And that's maybe the best kids dessert on property. Honestly, it's entertaining. You can sit and enjoy your wine or coffee. The kids aren't dying to get up because they're having so much fun. Love that. But I don't think that directly relates to it being a character meal. That just has to do with the meal itself. And I'm thinking of this from a character standpoint, and I just cannot get behind it in that sense. This should be, Belle should be there. We should be meeting the Beast and Belle. We should be having, why Be Our Guest? The production number is not happening while you eat, where there are singers and dancers performing this song. At least once, you know, have
it's a literal dining room.
Oh my
song.
Gosh, where is it? There's no entertainment. I just can't get behind it. I gave Be Our Guest a 21.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, snap.
Okay, so here's my take. Allie, you brought up a lot of good points that I was sitting here thinking about the number I had in my head. And I was like, you know what? I am going to lower that number that I originally thought I was going to assign it, because you're right. It is a little bit disappointing that it is like the Beauty and the Beast meal and you can't meet Belle there. It also is disappointing to people that are like, oh, the Beast just walks down the aisle. He does a little bow and that's the most that you see of him. There's not really an opportunity to snap a photo. There's not really an opportunity for your kids to say hello. It's not character dining. A lot of people like to call it that. I think that
I don't want to interrupt you and I can't wait to hear your point, but I want to say just for some people that may have done this experience, the Beast used to be, you used to be able to meet him. I actually do have a photo of one time we went where my daughter's holding his hand. There used to be a line for him, but it was a line. And the line just felt like you were meeting a character and it kind of took away from the fact that you were paying for a character meal. So even when you could meet him, I felt like the character meal value of it was kind of gone.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with all of that. What I was going to say is you're exactly right about how that character, or excuse me, the dessert for the kids where they get to paint the little chip cup is amazing. I will say Belle has always been my favorite princess. I have like Beauty and the Beast runs through my veins and I love it. And so I deeply, deeply love Be Our Guest. And I was so excited. My kids aren't usually so involved with the planning process for our Disney days. But my 7-year-old for her birthday was like, Mommy, I want to go back to Be Our Guest. And so we did. That was the only thing she really, really wanted. So we do love it. I do think that there's a big missed opportunity there that they're not doing Be Our Guest while we're sitting there dining. And for someone like me, you want to have this fully immersive experience. I feel like you do get that. But one of the big draws of Be Our Guest is getting to try the gray stuff.
It's delicious.
It is delicious. You can ask the dishes. However, there is an easier way to go try the gray stuff, and that's to go to Gaston's Tavern and get it on a cupcake, right? So it's like, eh. But that being said, as an adult who gets the adult dessert, I really, like I said, come to Be Our Guest for the gray stuff. Stay for that lemon raspberry macaron because it is, oh, so good. I love it. I originally was going to give Be Our Guest an 82, but everything that Allie said, I think I'm going to give it 79.
Oh, no, I am way more critical here. I am floored right now. You're giving 79. Meet a character.
And for any Smart Moms travel agents listening today, at a lot of these character meals, ever since they reopened, you cannot collect the signatures from the characters, but they're giving you these really cute collectible pictures or keepsakes that already have the characters' autographs on them. So our hidden Mickey for today will be autograph.
Stacey, what do you have?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I have, first of all, not only is the gray stuff delicious, the French onion soup is absolutely delicious here. That is one of my favorite things. However, it is a French onion soup. So I can't, I mean, it's really fantastic, but do you pick a character restaurant based on a French onion soup? Probably should not do that.
And it's not even the best soup you can get at a character meal. There's a better soup. We'll get there.
Okay. Right. Here, it is very good. It was very good. It replenishes those salts after a nice sweaty day. So it's very good. And we didn't mention the pricing on Akershus, but I'm going to throw in just a comparison here. Now, I know pricing and mentioning things on a podcast that could definitely go out of date. Like these could not, you know, if you looked right now listening to this, this may not be the price, but I just want to show a comparison. So Akershus for a dinner would be $43 for a child's and $67 for an adult. And at Be Our Guest, it's $70 for an adult and $41 for a child. So the adult is a little bit more and the child is just a little bit less. But I would say in comparison to that, you're just not getting anything more. You're getting less. And, you know, the saddest thing I saw was when Beast would walk into our room, and we were in the darker dining room as well, which I think has some little spoiler elements that I don't want to give away because it is pretty cool. All three of the dining rooms are very, very cool. They look amazing. But when the Beast walked in, there was a little girl in her Belle costume, and she went running up to him, and it was like they were nervous that she was going to, you know, tackle the Beast. And so, like, the handlers came out, you know, and they like, no, honey, you can't go up there. And the Beast kind of backs away. And I'm like, that poor baby, she just was so excited to see the Beast. And they wouldn't even let her get close. And that was sad. I did not like that at all for that poor family and that poor little girl. And it's a prefix meal, which is nice. The food choices are delicious. So, you know, that means that, like, you have a list of your entrees that you can choose. You have your desserts you can choose from, and they bring it to your table. It's a one-time thing. Whereas, like, the family style for Acres just means that it's kind of refillable. Like, they bring you a bowl full of that type of food, and they, when you run out, they'll bring you more. It's less. It's just less of everything, and the price does not equal that. And so all of these things, I am scoring it less than Agricious with a 65. It is not my lowest. It's not my lowest I'm going to go.
Wow.
But it is very close to the bottom.
Okay. Gosh. Well, what was your rank again?
Mine is a 65.
Yeah. And Allie's was?
21.
21. I came out highest with 79? That feels so
Be our guest. It's just missed opportunity. Wasted time, missed opportunity. I can't get behind it as a character meal. For food and dining room, like, sure. But I can't get behind it for purposes of what we're doing today. All right. We're going to move right along then. Cape May Cafe. Minnie Mouse's Beach Bash. This is happening at the Beach Club. Stacey, I think you ate here most recently. And so you start.
Yay. Yes. I will start with this one. One of my favorites. I am always recommending this to clients. There's just so little talk about it. I don't feel like very many people even know it exists. And it is fantastic. It is in the Beach Club. So they have a beach theme. It's Minnie's Beach Bash. It is adorable. They're wearing the cutest, their little pinks and blues, and just such a beachy feel. It is precious. Little sun hats. Oh my goodness. I love it so much. And it is some of your classic. Now, Mickey is not there. If you really need to see Mickey, this is not where you'll go. However, it does have Minnie and Goofy and Donald and Daisy, and it is precious. It's buffet. I feel like it is one of the better breakfast buffets. They are open for breakfast and dinner. At dinner, it is not character meal. It's delicious seafood and delicious food choices, but no characters. The prices are great. These are a lower price than some of your other buffets. The food is very standard American breakfast food, but really good. It's a good option. They do have salted beach buns that they deliver to your table, which are delicious. And you pour on your little vanilla cream. Oh my goodness. So, so good. This is ranked very high for me. I just think it is one of the best. I gave it a 90. Yes. You can't see our co-host here. Their mouths opened up.
I'm truly shocked by that. Although I completely agree with everything you said. We ended our trip at Cape May Cafe when we were staying at the boardwalk. And so I always love to do it like a farewell. Trip is over, but we want the magic to last a little longer. So I try to end with a character breakfast when possible, because we usually take a late flight. And so we walked on over to the Beach Club and ate there. I had to kind of weigh out missing Mickey versus the sticky buns. You know, how much did like those sticky buns outweigh the fact that Mickey wasn't there? Because the buns, amazing. No Mickey, that's a little bit of a hit, because, you know, you're sacrificing seeing the headliner, which for so many he is. Actually, for me, he's not, but for so many he is. I gave Cape May a 75. Strong meal. Good meal. Good characters. I love to see the characters in clothes that are not normal. So seeing them in their beach attire, very fun for me. Anytime I can see them dressed in something unique, this is the only place you're going to see them in their beach attire, then I want to go see it. And so 75. And I feel strong about it. It's good. It's a good meal, good characters, good experience is the best. I guess you'll wait and see, but that's what I give it.
I wanted to add into real quick, because I had this note mentioned. I love the setup of the room here. They have enough walls and partitions in between that when the characters approach you, it's kind of a surprise. It's kind of like they've come around a corner and you haven't seen them from really far off, and like watch and wait and like, here they come. Oh, and that takes forever for them to get to you. It doesn't have that feel. I really like that. And I also like that it doesn't feel as chaotic since it is that buffet and you're up and down. I just really do like the actual physical setup of the room.
Okay, you're not going to be happy with my score here. All right. So for all of the reasons that you have mentioned, like, the room setup actually, to me, makes me not love it as much. I am that mom that I want to see that a character is like behind my shoulder and have my camera ready so I can snap all the pictures. I don't want to be surprised by the characters. I want to be ready to go as they're approaching the table. So that's one thing. The other thing is they're breakfast only. And I'm like, I wish that they had more opportunities for you to dine there and have maybe a more, like, at Beach Club, I'm expecting to go and have, like, you know, your seafood and that kind of thing. And people want that with a character meal. And so the fact that it's only open as a character meal for breakfast is disappointing to me. I gave it a 55.
This is so funny to me because never once in my life have I thought people want their seafood with their characters.
Oh my goodness.
I love breakfast. That's the only meal I need with characters. I love that it's breakfast only. I don't care that it's not lunch and dinner. I think it's great. But okay, that's why we're doing this.
Well, I'm glad I put that hot number in there to balance out Katie's crazy number.
I don't know.
Do apples to apples then. We're going to Cape May Cafe versus Chef Mickey. These are two, what we on the podcast call Mickey meals, even though Mickey is not at Cape May. I just kind of, that's how I call them in my head. Any meal that you're meeting any of the gang. So at Cape May, obviously we already said you're not getting Mickey, but you are getting Minnie, Daisy, Donald, and Goofy. That's some serious headliners. You know, that's the gang minus Pluto minus Mickey. So love that. Very cool. But at Chef Mickey, you're getting Fab Five. So over at the Contemporary, this is resort dining as well. Open for breakfast and dinner, but dinner starts pretty early and breakfast goes pretty late. And so it's only a small lull in the day where you're not, you know, if you're wanting lunch, an early dinner time will suit you just fine, I'm sure. You're meeting the Fab Five, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto. This is arguably the most well-known of the Mickey meals. You know, people know about this one. We recently all just roomed together at the Contemporary. There is a song at this restaurant that kids put their napkins in the air and they are waving them around. And that song is playing, what do you think, every 20 minutes?
Probably every 20 minutes.
And you can hear it. You can hear it in the morning. You can hear it in the evening. I mean, you are hearing it and you are celebrating. The characters are in their chef attire. Yeah, they're all cooks there at Chef Mickey's. It is a buffet. It has like the funfetti pancakes for the kids. I'm talking sprinkles, ice cream, desserts. Like it's that meal that your kids are going to love. You know, it's the crap on the crap. And then they have some other staples as well, which is great. Some unique offerings, but honestly, food is subpar. I've not really ever had a meal at Chef Mickey where I was like, that was delicious, you know? And for me, the experience is very overstimulating. It's a very loud, very chaotic, very in your face moment. I love that you can meet the Fab Five. That is alone a reason to go. It is so overstimulating for me. It's a good meal. It's a good time. It's a solid experience. The food is not great, but I can't say it's a bad experience. I gave Chef Mickey a 72.
Interesting. Very interesting.
All right. I'll go next this time, I guess. I'll be completely transparent here. I personally, in my personal ranking, Chef Mickey's is the bottom for me. I don't super love Chef Mickey's. You remember I said earlier, pacing is everything to me. Like, it's great that you can meet so many characters, but at the same time, if there's characters coming around like so quickly that I feel like I can't enjoy my meal, that really detracts from it for me. Especially like your kids are so amped to go to the parks and they're at Disney and like you're just dying to get a meal in their belly. And whenever they're like so amped because the next character is coming like right behind the last, it's really hard for the pacing of that meal. But exactly what you said, Allie, the food is just it really misses the mark, in my opinion. We've had breakfast there. I thought breakfast was fine. I definitely prefer breakfast to dinner. However, last year we had our Christmas Eve dinner at Chef Mickey's, and I was really super not pleased. We didn't really eat the food. We kind of picked at it, and we didn't have a great character experience. My youngest, Tally, who was one at the time, she was so in love with the Fab Five. And she like struggled for the characters to come over and greet her. Like my two older ones would get up from the table and they would hug and they'd have this special time and snap a picture. And they would not come over to my one-year-old who was sitting in a high chair reaching out for the character. They would ignore her. And I'd be like, what is wrong here? So I don't know. I just, that's kind of the experience that I have lingering with Chef Mickey's too. Breakfast was fine. I did not love dinner. So I gave Chef Mickey's a 42.
Woo.
Oh.
Okay. Well, There is not a lot that I will say that is new information compared to what you all have said. I also have the word overstimulating written in my notes. It does have a cool vibe. It's in the contemporary. The ceiling is high and cool, and you get to see the neat surroundings. The monorail is pulling up right there. But for those same reasons, it is loud. It is so echoey in there. The monorail is not making a lot of noise, but it just means there's a lot of people there. There's not only just the people. You're not hearing just the voices and the sounds of the restaurant. You're hearing the rest of Contemporary's lobby, the people in line for monorail. It is just a noisy, bouncing sound just constantly in there, mixed with the music. Of course, we love Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, Pluto. Like, those are amazing opportunities to grab some pictures with them, but that's about your only real benefit. We also have, in comparison, when you're doing numbers, Cape May Minnie's Beach Bash is a $47 and a $30 today. This is a $47 for adult, $30 for kids. And at Chef Mickey's, it's $54 and $34. So it is more. It costs more to be there at Chef Mickey's, and I just don't think the price is worth it. And so for these reasons, I have given it a 50. And it is my lowest score of all.
Well, we all know that. Well, I'm not revealing if I have something lower than Be Our Guest, but we already know I've gone far lower than either of you have gone. I some families are looking for a party, and some families are going to Disney with what's the most Disney energy I can throw at my kids for our vacation. That's once in a lifetime. And I get it. And maybe Chef Mickey is your jam. But for those reasons, that's why I put it where I did. So I kind of had a feeling we'd all be in line there, though. And it's interesting that we've done all of these and that's where it falls. Cinderella's Royal Table. That's what's next. This is what Disney, I think, would consider their meal, right? Like, this is, you're in Cinderella's castle. You are inside at Magic Kingdom. It's one of the only princess meals on property. Very few of these exist. We've already talked about one. Katie, you start here.
Okay. So you said Cinderella's Royal Table is one of the only ways to get inside Cinderella's castle. So I feel like it gets points there because the only other way to get inside the castle is if you have a kiddo that has a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservation. We're not talking about Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique today, but it does cater to its favor that it's the only way to get in the castle. And it's beautiful and it's amazing and you have to take tons of pictures and it's great. Again, I'm a mom of three little girls who all love princesses, obviously. And so I love Cinderella's Royal Table. Is it my favorite place? Like, of any of the character meals, not exactly my favorite, but it is pretty high. I really do. I like the food. You get a lot of bang for your buck for what characters are coming. Again, for me, that's kind of a little bit of a pacing issue, but I would much rather pay for a character meal with the princesses than go stand in line for each of them, right? So I gave Cinderella's Royal Table an 89.
Okay, I'll go next. That's good. I'm very respectful of Cinderella's Royal Table. However, it is a difficult get. The reservations for this are a little tougher. It is a little expensive. It's a little on the expensive side. And growing up, my girls and children weren't particularly into the princess thing. So it was never a really high priority. So I just have that experience a little bit that it's, you know, it's fine. Our family always much preferred the Mickeys and the Minnies. And for these reasons, I give it the respect in my score because it's worthwhile. And it is one of the sit down restaurant options at Magic Kingdom. We've talked about that before in the dining episode, that there aren't a lot and it is an excellent one. But for the expense, for the difficulty in getting it, I did knock it down a couple of notches and I gave it an 80.
I love the way that you worded that, Stace, saying respect, right? This is, I think, taking your kids in the castle, taking your spouse in the castle. The castle is what Disney dreams are made of. I've been very candid on this show that it's not necessarily my favorite meal. Sitting down at Magic Kingdom just isn't my favorite. But looking at this as a character dining experience, what is better than meeting princesses in a castle? That, if that's not Disney, what is? I will say that if I'm booking it, I'm personally booking breakfast there. We're just breakfast people. I love starting my day with a good meal. Love it. I like to have a mimosa and the food is really just good. You know, we had lunch there alternatively, and I've talked on this show before about having prime rib in 90 degree weather at noon. It just wasn't for me. That is not my ideal experience, but a late night reservation in the castle where it's all lit up, or an early morning, start your day this way, I think it's top notch. And I don't love the dinner food. So again, I'm going to go with my ranking is for breakfast specifically, because that's the meal I prefer in the castle. What a magical start to your morning, right? There's no better way to experience Disney. I gave Cinderella's Royal Table an 86.
Okay.
I can't look over the fact at all that this is a castle and it is princesses. You know, the food is good enough, you know, and the experience itself is really nice. And we actually had good time with the princesses as they came around, just like Akershus. It can change who you're meeting. And I believe we've seen a different set of princesses the few times we've been. But, you know, all the times, I think we've been three times now, we've seen the princesses with good time. You know, they come and they spend some time at the table and we have great photos. It's a good experience, and you should do it. It's on your
list.
Yeah.
If you have a fan of princesses, this is definitely the one to go to.
Crystal Palace, we're going to jump to next. This is one of the other character meal dining sit downs in Magic Kingdom. This park has two. So you can meet the princesses at Cinderella's Royal Table. Crystal Palace, you're getting Pooh and the gang. You've got Pooh, Tigger, Piglet, and Eeyore. It gets points for me for being unique in that way. It's the only meal you can meet these guys, although my experience there wasn't great. It is buffet style, and that's delicious. Actually, the food was really, really good, but it's a large restaurant. And I mentioned on our dining episode that the characters never really made it to us. And when we did finally get to see them at the end, it was just really rushed. And I remember it being a stressful circumstance for my family. So for that experience alone, and we're just not big Winnie the Pooh fans, it's not something that's high on our list, I give Crystal Palace a 39.
Ooh.
Okay. Go ahead, Stace.
All right. So this was my first experience taking my own personal children to a character meal when my girls were little. So I have that core experience, that core memory. And we are Pooh fans. We do love him. I mean, they're literally little stuffed animals that are living and walking around, and they're absolutely precious. The food is so-so. It is very standard buffet food, and it's fine. But I really do. And I like the lines within the walking, the paths. It seems very organized. It does not have that chaotic feel for a buffet restaurant. And so I did give it actually same score as I gave Cinderella's Royal Table, and it's an 80.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I am living that life with little kiddos right now. You all know, my youngest is 2, and we actually took her to Crystal Palace for her second birthday. Although my kiddos are littles, they're not really super into Winnie the Pooh. They kind of like Winnie the Pooh, but it's not like something that we're watching every day. Right. But I took her for her second birthday because I was like, if we don't do it now, like the magic will be different for them as they get older. Let's do it now while she's 2. That being said, we had the most amazing time. I actually didn't have a problem with pacing at that meal. We actually had some magical moments with Piglet showing the parade to my kids and stuff. We really loved it. The food I thought was really good. I love that they have a little kids buffet where they can go get things that are more akin to their tastes. I would give Crystal Palace an 86 because we had a really great time there. And man, I will never forget the moment that my 2-year-old like kissed Eeyore on the nose, and just it was great. So I love Crystal Palace. I gave it an 86.
Yep, it is absolutely adorable for sure.
We're gonna pivot then to Garden Grill. Here's another Mickey meal. We talked about how at some of these meals, you know, you're missing the headliners. Disney tries to pair them up, right? So at Cape May Cafe, you don't get Mickey or Pluto. But here at Garden Grill over in Epcot, you do get Mickey and Pluto, and you get them alongside 2 super unique characters. The only meal you're going to meet Chip and Dale, who are wildly popular. And here's an opportunity to eat with them. I think that alone gives it a little bit of an edge, but I went first last time. And so, Katie, I think it's your turn to go first.
Okay. It's no secret that Garden Grill is my favorite place to eat for a character meal anywhere. It's my favorite place to eat in Epcot. I love, love, love Garden Grill. I just feel like the food is really great. You're in a smaller restaurant. You get more one-on-one time with the characters. Every time I leave Garden Grill, I feel like I got so much bang for my buck because my kids filled their bellies and we're good to go for the day. But we have had so many magic moments at Garden Grill that I have said, if that was the only thing that I got to do on this Disney trip, it would be worth every penny because Garden Grill is just so, so great. It's amazing. So I am giving Garden Grill a 99.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't give anything 100 goodness. Because I don't think anything is perfect. Everybody has some room for improvement. But I love Garden Grill that much that I really believe it's a 99 and everybody should get there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I also love Garden Grill and it is one of my higher scores. It is, I've scored it well. It does have the family style for the win. I love a family style restaurant. And the characters, as you mentioned, were really great. I would like to point in there is a novelty of Garden Grill where the restaurant rotates. It is on a center platform that slowly moves around a circle. So you enter from the lobby area of the land pavilion. And as you're moving along your dining experience, you're literally moving around the room. It takes you all the way around. You can kind of peek into some areas of the ride, Living with the Land. And it's a really unique thing. And as kind of I've become kind of a spokesperson for motion sickness, I do want to point out that it does not bother me. This, I know some people say, I don't know if I could do something that rotates. It is very, very slow moving.
I don't even realize it.
However, I do not want to say that if you have motion sickness, you definitely won't have a problem. I just would say that I think the majority of people with motion sickness will not have a problem. I know there's always a possibility because it is moving. It is very gentle, however. So all of that, the food is pretty good, pretty fun. It's kind of a little healthier versions of food, which feels good if you've been doing a lot of, you know, park food. It's a pretty good option. And it's actually one of our family's favorites as well. And I gave it an 85.
Y'all are out there. All right. I don't even think this restaurant deserves this much time of our episode. Here's how here's how I came to my conclusion. It gets points for it's cool, like the restaurant rotates, and that's like an individual experience. It gets points for having Chip and Dale because it's the only one. They're in farmer outfits or something. I don't know. It's like
it's so cute.
It's not how I want to meet the characters. And honestly, it's just another Mickey meal, and I don't think it stands out among the rest as being one of the best. And if I'm at Epcot, my goal is to be a foodie. I'm not going to waste my Mickey meal in the single park that has like the best food on property. I'm not going to fill my belly before I have a chance to go eat the street corn at the Flower Garden Festival. I'm just not doing it. That's ridiculous. And so it gets points because it has some unique things going on, but this is like, forget about it. I'm not doing it. It was one and done, not going there. And it got a 59.
Oh my gosh, shots fired.
Maybe take it out of the food park and I'll consider it. And with that, we're going to bust right into Hollywood and Vine because I can't even believe y'all scored Garden Grill so high. Hollywood and Vine is at Hollywood Studios. That is the Hollywood Studios character meal. Something that is very unique to Hollywood and Vine is it is a different character experience in the morning at breakfast than it is at lunch and dinner. So I'm going to give my rankings, but I'm doing two different ones. I'll give them both to you now. At Hollywood and Vine in the morning for breakfast at Hollywood Studios, you're actually meeting Disney Junior characters. Very cool. That's the only place you're doing it. There's nowhere else you're going to meet them, you know, in a meal. So I think that's great. Big problem. Number one, it's kind of isolating, right? You have a very short window where your kids are into Disney Junior. And if you have had kids that are into Disney Junior, you know how fleeting it is. Second problem, the shows are turning over so quickly that the characters are becoming irrelevant very fast. You know, the characters that are currently Disney Juniering over at that breakfast, Fancy Nancy, Doc McStuffins, and Vampirina, along with Goofy from Mickey and the Roadster Racers. Those are Disney Junior characters from my oldest daughter's generation. She's going to be 9 this year. You know, those are outdated. Her sister and brother, who are only 3 years younger than her, they do not know Doc McStuffins. They don't know her. You know,
Yeah. We need Bluey and this Bingo.
Meal, it gets points for me for being unique and having Disney Junior. But I just think Disney can't keep up with the rotation and how quickly that needs to change. And so for that, I gave the Disney Junior breakfast a 43. And I gave the lunch and dinner, which is a Mickey meal. It's just not, again, I'm not picking that one. I've never picked that one. I didn't have a great experience. The diner feel wasn't really what I wanted. Hollywood Studios is one of my favorite parks. I actually think it's lacking in food, hugely lacking in food in general. And I don't think its character meal stands up to the other parks. In fact, I think Garden Grill is better, if that tells you anything. And so I didn't give it much lower than Garden Grill. But again, it's not my go-to. It's not the vibe I'm wanting. And I gave it a 55.
Wow. Okay.
One number for Hollywood and Vine in general. What would that be, Allie?
So then I guess I would have to average them and give it like a 49.
Okay, 49. I'm good with that. Go ahead, Stace. Tell us your score.
Okay. For very similar as what Allie has said, the Disney Junior, it's just been, I mean, my kids are grown, so we definitely are not interested in that at all. And, you know, the dinner is a seasonal thing, which makes it kind of cute. The characters will change out based on the season. So, like, currently they're in their Christmas attire. They just came out of their Halloween attire. So that's, you know, its own little thing, whatever. But I'm with you. It's just okay. It's just an okay thing. I think there are definitely better options somewhere else. And also the park, Hollywood Studios is just, you've got a lot to do. And like, I just kind of don't know if this is where I want to spend my time. So I have ranked this one a 70.
Okay. My ranking for Hollywood and Vine, originally I was more in the neighborhood of where you scored, Stace. But after hearing Allie's pitch on it, I was like, I think Allie changed my mind again, because you have a point. Like, there's not enough turnover happening for relevant characters with the Disney Junior. And I want to give Hollywood and Vine more points for offering two different sets of characters at their meals. But you're right. It is. I mean, my kids love Fancy Nancy, but at the end of the day, there are other characters that would be better choices. So I am actually going to change my original score, and I'm going to give it a 52.
Yeah, and I will say I want to give it credit for changing the lunch and dinner attire. I do love that. I've already mentioned I love that, but I just can't. I don't put it above my other favorite Mickey meals, which we haven't even gotten to yet. And so that's why I have to put it where I do. Stace, you want to start with Ohana? Talk about that Ohana.
Sure.
Who are you meeting at Ohana, and where is it falling?
Ohana is one of my favorites. It is a beautiful scenery. I just really love sitting in here. The vibe here is super, super Polynesian, and it is really, really nice. And that's already going to give it one of my higher rankings. I really like the food. I think it is a little more elevated. It does have that Polynesian, you know, the Hawaiian kind of little twist to it, makes it special and great. And some super unique characters. To be able to see Lilo and Stitch is really special. So I have given it an 85.
Katie, you go next.
All right. So for Ohana, like, for all the reasons that you loved it, Stace, with like being in the poly and the views and being able to see the castle out the window. Yeah, Ohana is great. However, if you asked me as an adult, would I rather go to Ohana for breakfast as a character meal with Lilo and Stitch, or would I rather have an amazing dinner there without the characters? I'm picking the dinner every time. And my kids would pick the dinner too. I know, that's crazy. We're not super Lilo and Stitch lovers in our house though. So I am actually gonna give Ohana a 62, just because I know that Lilo and Stitch have a huge following, but I do think the dinner is better.
Okay, could not disagree with you more. We actually don't love the dinner. It was okay, it was fine. Drinks were great, view is great. Ukulele player, great. Love it, but not our favorite dinner, for sure not. But we do love this character breakfast. We stay at the Polynesian frequently. We often do this as our arrival day breakfast. And so the energy we're bringing into that meal is, we're starting a Disney trip, you know, so we're already in a great mood. We will usually request a table by the window so that you can see the castle while you're eating. It's my favorite view on property. I just love it so much. I can't speak about it enough. I talk about my hotel, my resort room at the Poly being that same view. I love it. we are Lilo and Stitch lovers, although I do think Lilo herself is a little odd. I think I mentioned on the dining episode, my daughter was like, "Mom, why is her mouth like that?" It is a little odd, but I don't want to ding that. I don't want to ding the experience for that. It's kind of funny, honestly. And Lilo and Stitch are iconic. I love it so much. And Mickey and Pluto are also there. And so having two really, really classic characters paired with very unique characters. I love the Lilo and Stitch pairing more than the Chip and Dale pairing that you have over at Garden Grill. The food is family style. Keep it coming. Lilo and Stitch waffles. So good. So unique. Delicious breakfast food. Just good offerings. Love it. Can't say enough good things. I do wish Moana was there. My number might surprise you. Because I'm saying so many good things, but again, I'm just ranking it against other things. So I know I've raved about it, but I'm giving it an 82, which is really high for me, obviously. But I didn't go higher just because I'm on my own sliding scale versus other things. So love Ohana, love location, characters. It's great.
All right. Let's talk about Storybook Dining at Artist Point.
So this is dinner only. This is a very hard character meal to score. It is prefixed. You get three courses over at Wilderness Lodge, Snow White, Grumpy and Dopey Dwarves, along with the Evil Queen. It is, they're going to bring you like three appetizers for everyone to eat. You select your entree and then three desserts for everyone to eat. And everybody gets a bite of everything. I told you I was going to talk about my favorite soup. This is my favorite soup, mushroom soup appetizer at Storybook Dining at Artist Point. Oh my gosh, it's so good. I dream about that stuff. I love that you get little samplings. When they bring it to the table, the presentation is the best of any character meal, I think. It is on these ornate, elaborate trees and serving platters. The restaurant itself is gorgeous. There are lit up trees everywhere. Snow White is skipping through. Grumpy and Dopey are equally hilarious. And, you know, Grumpy's so funny and angry the whole time. My son has the softest heart ever. And when we went to Storybook Dining, he was so scared of the Evil Queen and he was saying the funniest stuff. And we just kept saying we had told him she was coming. He was so nervous the whole time. When she finally came out, he looked at her and said, "We don't want any apples. We don't want any apples." Like he thought she was going to. We just had the best experience there as a family. And then the podcast team the podcast hadn't even launched yet. And we all went together to Storybook Dining. As you know, we draw great inspiration from the Seven Dwarves. So we all Disney bounded as dwarves. I just have nothing but good memories at this restaurant. Food, presentation, location, uniqueness of characters. Because you are getting a princess, but you're also getting a villain. Where else are you meeting with a villain? I cannot say enough things. Love it. Love the cocktails. Love the food. 92.
Nice.
Nice. Okay. I'll go ahead and go next. I actually, for all of the same reasons that you mentioned, Allie, I love Storybook Dining at Artist Point with Snow White. In my opinion, that is actually my favorite princess character meal. I think that's the best one. The pacing is great. The food is phenomenal. And as you said, it's the only place where you can meet a Disney villain year round at Disney World. So we love Storybook Dining. I'm actually planning on taking my kiddos there in a couple weeks because my middle daughter, Emma, it's going to be her 5th birthday and she loves Snow White and I can't wait to surprise her there. I am also giving Storybook Dining a 92.
Nice. Excellent. Okay. I like where this is going.
Just lay that number on us. Come on. You got to
Yes. Yes. You'll be happy to know this is my highest ranked character dining meal. I absolutely love it for all of the things you have said. The awesome ambiance in there. It is absolutely gorgeous. So fun. Feels so themed. The Evil Queen, she is amazing. She is really super fun to visit with. And the Snow White just dancing through. It's wonderful. And the food, absolutely just the best. I was just blown away with how much I enjoyed that meal. I was like, I was shocked. Honestly, I had not heard how delicious it was. And just going through all of the little courses, I continue to be happier and happier with everything they provided for us. Like you said, the presentation was just perfect. I gave it a 95.
Nice. I love like that. It.
Yeah. Really, really good, you guys. All right. That's going to lead us then into Topolino's. We only have two left, y'all. And I'm excited about these two. Topolino's Terrace, Mickey Meal Resort Dining. It is at the Riviera. It is Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Daisy. It is my favorite Mickey Meal. I love these four characters. I don't mind that Goofy or Pluto aren't there. These are the four bangers, right? I've already talked about how I love the wardrobe. The four of them are in their artist clothes. I'm an artist. I'm a dancer. I've always been a dancer. Daisy is in a ballet costume, y'all. Like, she's dancing. Mickey's got a painted smock on. It's just so great. It is quieter than Chef Mickey, but it doesn't feel stuffy at all. But it's a relaxed time. The view from Topolino's Terrace, you can see all of Disney World. You can see Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Blizzard Beach, Animal Kingdom. You can see it all. Top of the world. Other resorts. I love having breakfast there. That's the meal that they offer sometimes before we head to Epcot for the day. So I'm not giving up any of my foodiness that I want to experience at Epcot, but we take the Skyliner over. It just works perfectly. You strategize well. This is a perfect meal. You can order multiple entrees. They will bring it to you. No extra charge. So good. I cannot say enough good things about Topolino's Terrace. Take a mimosa or a coffee out on the terrace itself to absorb those views, get pictures. The characters spend time with you. They do the clapping song. I don't even know what they're singing in. And it's so fun. I love it. It's a great, you're going to smile the whole time. You're going to love your meal. Topolino's is a 97.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Go ahead, Stacey. Give us your score.
Okay. So I know that this is a ton of people's favorites. And I definitely respect that. It is a fantastic, like everything you said with the view, it's beautiful. The characters are so cute, so adorable. This is a really tough one to get. It is one that you have to watch for a lot. And sometimes you have to watch it for a long time, even leading up into your trip, waiting for someone else to cancel. And for that is the only reason that I dropped it down any points at all. I also agree that being on the Skyliner makes it super fun to just go to. And so I gave it an 85. Not really low, but I did knock it down for the difficulty.
Okay. I feel like that's respectable. I do love Topolino's for the pacing and for the food. And you are so on point, Allie, with those costumes. If I have to pick a favorite, like Mickey and the Gang costume set, it is 100% those ones at Topolino Terrace. So you guys loved it so much. I love it too. I'm going to give it a 91.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think, Stacey, the fact that it's hard to get just speaks how phenomenal it is. Like, where else are you going to get Minnie Mouse in that beret? Come on. It's so good. Katie, why don't you start us off then? Our very final meal, Tusker House, Animal Kingdom theme park, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
All right, Tusker House. So Tusker House offers, it's like a character meal with Mickey and the Gang. It's mainly focused on Donald, but they also have Daisy and Goofy. They do serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. The really nice thing about Tusker House is that they do have like your typical cuisine that your picky eaters are going to be happy with, but they also have more adventurous cuisine that, you know, if you want to try something new, it's probably going to be there. So it pleases both camps. It makes a lot of people happy. It's something of an inside joke, kind of, I guess, between the podcast team that I have the hardest time eating at Animal Kingdom. I don't know. I'm not usually pleased whenever I'm eating at Animal Kingdom, but I do enjoy Tusker House, and I feel like it's a place that just sort of pleases every appetite, like I said. So all that in mind, I gave Tusker House a 84.
Okay. That's fair enough, especially knowing coming from you that you do have a difficult time. This is one of our family's favorites. We really, really enjoy Tusker House. And I do know what you mean by the Animal Kingdom offerings. A lot of time there are just some little some spices and some flavorings that are a little different that may not be super for any kind of picky eater. They may not be a super fan of these foods. However, I think Tusker House does them very well, and they have enough of your traditional types of foods to really make it for anyone can enjoy it. And the character interaction here is so super fun. And I say what's really fun, getting that first reservation of the day and sneaking into Animal Kingdom with their little secret pathway. They'll have a cast member walk you back there. Oh my goodness, it just feels really special. And when you're finished with your breakfast, you just are dumped out right there into the middle of the park. Oh, it's so fun. We love that. The costuming is super cute for the characters in here. They're super fun, dancing, really high energy for that early morning kick to your day. We love it. And I ranked it a 90.
Y'all, maybe you don't know this about me. I'm obsessed with this meal. I love Tusker House. They do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is Mickey, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy in their safari gear. We do breakfast at Tusker House. And for the reason that you both said, I'm an adventurous eater. Give me the spices. Give me the green beans at breakfast. Give me the different flavors mixed with my eggs. I want it all. And it's there. But my kids can have Simba waffles and what they call zebra cake. And they're totally happy. It is delicious. It is so good. It is delicious. It's wonderful. It's buffet. So it's easy. I've got my sweet plate. I've got my savory plate. I'm just so happy. The characters are adorable. Yes, you're leaving there. You're going straight to the safari. You've already had a banger morning because you get a headliner ride and a headliner meal and you're enjoying it. It's so good. My daughter, when we ate at Tusker House over spring break recently, she was just having a kind of a tough morning. You know, you're at Disney World and you're tired, and she was a bit emotional at the table. And oh my goodness, Donald came over and he just reached his arms out. And I have a video. He pulls her in close and he's just rubbing her head. And she cried. She cried into his safari vest. And I am going to start helping you about it. He just noticed that, like, here's a kid that's just tired. You know, she's overstimulated. It's been a trip. And he took a minute and just rubbed her head and loved on her after. Oh my God. It was so cute. Love this meal. Those magic moments. We were being so understanding with her. She wasn't being bad. You know, she was just emotional. It was tough. And Donald saw it. And it was just so sweet. And I love this meal. I had to, of course, keep it in par with some of the other meals. But I ranked it right there close to some of my other favorites. And I gave Tusker House a 91.
Nice.
I like it.
So Katie's going to tabulate these scores. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have our order. How did these fall? I can't wait.
Hey there, friends. I'm Katie Boone, one of your podcast co-hosts. I'd love to invite you to join my Facebook Disney planning community called Planning Disney with Babies, Toddlers, and Preschoolers. In my group, I love discussing all the aspects of planning your magical vacation with little ones. Find my community at facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. When you join, don't forget to tell me you heard about my group on the podcast. See you there.
Hey, wait. I know you're ready to get back to the podcast, but I've got something very simple for you to do. Join my Facebook group, Disney Planning Made Simple. I'm Stacy, one of your podcast hosts, and I have a sweet, friendly Facebook group made for those of us who thrive in the simple pleasures of life. Things like family, food, and Disney. Join at facebook.com/groups/DisneyMadeSimple or follow with the link in the show notes. We'll be so happy to see you there.
All right. Welcome back. I'm so excited. We have tabulated our scores. We took all of our personal rankings. I'm glad we talked through it personally because, y'all, I cannot believe how generous you were to some of these meals. Okay. I feel like I was the only one that took a hammer and said, all these experiences are good, but let's call it like it is. And this one could be better. but, you know, we have our personal orders and now we're going to have our official list. We averaged everything we said. And remember, we drew from personal experience and you can't have a bad experience at any of these. And hey, if you had a good experience and we like your favorite restaurant landed low, tell us. We want to know. Join us on Patreon. Tell us how wrong we are. Share your story with us. We want to know. Are y'all ready to hear the order?
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh, it's killing me.
Not top 12. All the character meals at Disney World, there are 12 of them, ranked lowest to highest based on experience. Number 12 out of 12, Chef Mickey's. That is shocking.
That is going to really shock some people.
Chef Mickey's averaged with the three of us a 54.66. We talked about it. It's a little loud, a little overstimulating, and you can meet these characters elsewhere. Number 11, Be Our Guest. Not really a character meal, guys. I'm not super thrilled that this is not number 12, but it's fine. It just edged out Chef Mickey's at 55. you know, when you get down at this point, you could really interchange any of these. It's it is what it is. 55, Be Our Guest, Magic Kingdom. Number 10, the only character meal that adapts with the seasons and the meal, you've got Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios, has ranked number 10. It made the top 10 cut at scoring a 57 between the three of us. Number 9, 68.33. Crystal Palace, Pooh and the Gang, over at Magic Kingdom.
That one disappoints me a little bit.
I feel good about it. There's one that upsets me in the top five. Number eight. Number 8, 73.33. Oh my gosh, 8 and 7, so close. So close. Mm-hmm. Number 8 at Beach Club, Minnie's Beach Bash, Cape May Cafe. The buns with the vanilla sauce just didn't pull as hard as I hoped they would. Number 7 at 76.33. So Cape May was 73.33. This is 76.33 at the Polynesian, Ohana. Lilo and Stitch. Wow. Lilo and Stitch, number 7. Number 6.
Listen, this one was even closer. 3/10 of a point.
76.66. Akershus in Epcot did not make the top five. Shocking. Huh. And are you ready for our top five?
Oh, I'm so ready. Let's go.
Number 5, scoring 81 points, Garden Grill.
Ah.
I can't believe it.
It deserves a spot in the top five for sure.
You know who's going to be mad about this the most?
Me.
Carla.
Me. Carla, I tried.
Carla is going to be so angry.
If you book with me, let's talk about some of the eating options at Epcot that aren't Garden Grill. Okay, number 4.
But they're characters. Look, carriage or meals. That's a difference.
You're right. 100%. I will say my personal list of top four are the same top four. They're not in the same order, but I feel good that my top four are the top four. Number 4, 88.33 points. It's a Mickey meal at Animal Kingdom, Tusker House. Love it so much. So glad it scored so high. Sometimes it gets overlooked. It's an ace. Go there. These next three, so happy with. Love that these are in the top three. Very deserving. Absolutely. But are you ready to hear how they fell?
Yeah.
Number 3, 85 points. Cinderella's Royal Table. I think that may shock some people because I think people hold it to this standard that it is the meal of meals. I'm glad it hit number 3 because I do think these other two edge it out for the reasons we talked about. And I'm so thrilled that number 1 and 2 are the two that they are because I believe that they are the two strongest. We know which two are left.
Yep.
Should I say what the winner is and then work backwards?
No. Oh, that is what they do in beauty pageants. Miss America, right?
Okay, our final two contestants.
Our final two contestants here. Second place scored a 91. First place scored a 93. The two final meals are going to be Topolino's and Storybook Dining at Artist Point. One is, of course, a Mickey meal at the Riviera. One is a princess and villain and unique character meal over at Wilderness Lodge. Two resort dinings. The winner of every character meal at Disney World ranked, coming in first for experience, food, presentation, all of it. Couldn't agree more. Storybook Dining at Artist Point.
Yay!
Puts Topolino's at second. I think these are two deserving restaurants. I'm thrilled. I 5 to 12 could, you know, shift around, but these top three, absolutely. And I'm so thrilled with number 1. Love it so much. I hope people try it. I hope this is helpful information. If you have more questions about any of these meals, your Smart Mom's travel agent has probably done them. So ask away. Be sure to clarify which of these, if any, require 2 dining credits, because you may need to know that as you're going to add on your dining plan. Thanks so much for listening. This was a blast. If you are in our Patreon, we are going to be talking about those multi-credit meals. We're going to be sharing this information and dive a little deeper into it. And of course, we want to hear your thoughts all over social media, because I'm sure number 12 being Chef Mickey probably upset a few listeners, and we want to hear about it. What did we get wrong? And what would you have done differently? Please, 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 if you enjoy this show, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. It matters so much. Recently, we had a listener, Christina Marie, 2504, said, I love getting to hear everyone's takes on different topics. It's such an easy listen. Definitely something I look forward to each week. Christina, I hope that the different points of view you heard today were equally pleasing, and maybe you take the advice and have a better experience with your kiddos because of it. Smarties, what'd you think of today's episode? Did you enjoy it? Because if so, it would mean so much to us if you would just hit that like or subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Just take a minute, click subscribe. Did you know that by sharing your favorite episodes, it's also very helpful to us? And don't forget, we just launched our brand new Patreon. We mentioned it a couple times here on this episode. If you're not already over there, get over there. Join us. Find the link in our show notes and on social media. You got to become a member so you get the exclusive perks and the monthly planning guides and so much more value that you will find if you just join our Patreon. If you enjoyed this episode, you should check out Dining at Disney World. I think you're thinking about dining. Your stomach might be growling. This is a good pairing. So just like you would do fine wine and a steak for pairing, maybe you want to pair this episode with that one and really complete your experience here on Disney dining. You might also click over to the dopiest mistakes of them all, where we laughed and laughed about listeners' mistakes that they made while they were on vacation. Because what you don't know, you don't know. That's going to do it today. Until next time, we'll see you real soon.